96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is a special edition of the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. More than 3 months have passed since the unarmed teenager, Michael Brown, was shot and killed by Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson in Ferguson, Missouri. A grand jury decision about indicting the officer may be just days away. No matter the decision, it will be a watershed moment for this crisis. What will happen after that? Will it spark violence or will it spark a wider movement for social and political change? Well, my guests are also waiting on the grand jury decision. Dr. Lorenzo Morris is a Howard University political science professor. Yolanda Rondon is a civil rights attorney. Reverend Michael McBride is a community organizer with PICO, People Improving Communities Through Organization. And T.O. is a St. Louis hip-hop artist and community activist. The lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Thank you all for joining me in this very important conversation. Let me first talk about what may happen no matter what in this grand jury decision. If the grand jury decides to indict or if they don't decide to indict, Ms. Rondon, what do you foresee is what do you see is happening next? I mean, do you foresee any kind of violence? Do you see protests? Your opinion about that?
Yes, the grand jury indictment is to determine whether the prosecution has probable cause, meaning enough evidence to indict Mr. Wilson. So it's like a test run. The defense is not there and it's private. When the grand jury makes its decision, decides not to indict, of course, there's going to be uproar because it's not the first time where there has been pervasive police abuse in the Ferguson area, as well as killings of unarmed Black African Americans throughout the country. The local groups on the ground have made it clear and evident that they will protest, in fact, if Darren Wilson is not indicted. And I think the fact of this political pressure is that even if there's not an indictment entered, the prosecution will still move forward and try to proceed with a trial and convince a judge that they do have enough evidence to proceed with the criminal prosecution.
So you're saying that the chief prosecutor in that region still has the option to file charges even if the grand jury doesn't indict?
Yes, they still have that option. However, they just have to prove in a preliminary phase to the judge that they have probable cause to charge Darren Wilson with the crime.
Okay. T.O., we could hear a decision one way or another this weekend. What is your plan after a decision is rendered by the grand jury?
After the decision, we plan to continue to fight, whether there is an indictment or whether there isn't an indictment. The murder of Mike Brown was the straw that broke the camel's back, but that's not the only issue that we're facing here. And we're focused on making sure that we can stop these injustices in the future, as well as a programmatic response to help a community that's in dire need of help. So we will continue to fight whether there is an indictment or whether there isn't an indictment. If there is an indictment, of course, we have won one battle, but we're still in the war.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Mike, you come to Missouri from the West Coast. Why?
Because we realize that the murder of Mike Brown and the subsequent trauma that many of us witnessed over the television airwaves with the militarized responses of the law enforcement and the tear gassing of women, children, elderly community members who were all peacefully protesting and marching has triggered a sense of moral outrage. We have a national campaign called the Live Free campaign that trains congregation members and formerly incarcerated individuals and community members to engage in organizing our communities to constructively change and hold the system accountable and to see and witness in 2014, the citizens of Ferguson and St. Louis County broadly were met with a militarized response and have had justice being elusive to them, has not only brought to bear the dire need of justice here in this region, but has shown us and sparked an awareness all across the country. Every 28 hours, an unarmed African-American person is shot by a police officer, security guard, or vigilante. We realize that this is an issue that this whole country must address and must deal with, and this is ground zero of it. We're here to stand in solidarity with T-Dubbo and Tess and Pastor Tracy Blackman and all the families who are most directly impacted by this, including the family of Michael Brown.
Okay. Dr. Morris, from a political standpoint, your perspective is what? What is this really about? This isn't just about Michael Brown, is it? There are bigger issues here that perhaps have been ignited or reignited by his death.
Yeah, oh, certainly. Your commenters, other commenters have touched on them. There's an old maxim, I think it goes back to William Gladstone, but King repeated it, that justice delayed is justice denied. We have already seen a second major injustice in this case by postponing an indictment when there is overwhelming evidence of probable improprieties, if not clear evidence of a crime. So that we have this decision being made at a time when a decision has already been made, the decision not to go as speedily to a reasonable interpretation of the justice system as possible. And what that means is, to me, is that like with civil rights laws that were passed and then you had to follow it with a Voting Rights Act because it didn't quite do the job by itself, and then the Civil Rights Act again that dealt with housing, the criminal justice system requires, based on increasing evidence of stereotyping and overwhelming negative images of minorities and blacks in particular in the criminal justice system, it requires both a national perhaps, but certainly a state level action in places like Missouri to assure legislatively that the criminal justice application to its citizens is one that follows reasonable and unbiased perspectives. We don't know, presumably, everything that Wilson did or didn't do, but we know that the law, the application of the law was not structured to maximize a reasonably speedy and fair interpretation of what happened in Michael Brown's case. And we can add to that that we know that the only reason we're able to have this discussion is because so many people witnessed it and took pictures of it. So we also know by the proliferation of cases out of the media that it would not have otherwise gotten this attention.
Ms. Rondon, here's the big issue. A lot of people have asked me, why is this taking so long? But the truth of the matter is, in general practice of grand juries, they take as long as they take, do they not? There's no time limit, and most people don't know when a grand jury convenes.
That's exactly correct. There's no time limit. There's no statute of limitations like regular criminal laws. And in fact, so it only requires at a point, especially in Missouri, for 3/4 of the judges to agree that there's probable cause. So we're really not supposed to know what exactly happens inside a grand jury. And the fact that this information is being revealed or put out in the public is surprising. But it's also, I think, a product of the fact that the Department of Justice has taken a keen interest in this case on a broader level of investigating impropriety and practice and patterns of historical discrimination. So meaning whether the police force in their training, in their enforcement, in their recruitment, if this is historically how they apply the laws in Ferguson. And this not only is coupled with the fact of the police force being majority white, but serving almost a 75% African-American population.
Need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to the phone lines. I want to hear what you have to say at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. A special edition of the Daily Drum waiting on the grand jury in the Michael Brown case. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This special edition of the Daily Drum, waiting on the grand jury decision in the Michael Brown case. My guests are Dr. Lorenzo Morris, Howard University political science professor. Yolanda Rondon is a civil rights attorney. Reverend Michael McBride, a community organizer with PICO, People Improving Communities Through Organization. And T-Dubbo, he's a St. Louis hip-hop artist and community activist. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Amy, where are you calling from, Amy, and what's on your mind?
Southern Maryland, and I just feel like we missed a huge opportunity to bridge a gap. On one side, it should have been made a human issue and not a race issue.
Why do you say that?
Any teenager should not be shot unarmed. And on the other side, the government missed the opportunity to bridge a gap by not immediately charging the police officer and having all this crime and everything go on, whereas they could have just had him charged and then let a jury decide the fate.
Well, certainly everyone can agree that that no person, unarmed, should be, shot and killed by a police officer. But suffice it to say, Amy, that, there is overwhelming evidence. There are so many examples where this is happening to young black men more than, and men of color, dare I say, than any other group, which is why, and look, correct me if I'm wrong, T-Dub, but this is why so many people in Missouri and indeed around the nation are upset.
Correct.
I completely agree. However, in order to get everybody on board, you have to humanize him and make him everybody's child.
Well, T-Dub, go ahead. Well, hold on. Let me let T-Dub respond, and then you.
Hold on one second, Amy.
Let me have T-Dubbo respond. Please go right ahead.
When and why should you have to humanize a human being? He's already everyone's child. It takes a village. He shouldn't have been dehumanized in the first place. And the reason he was dehumanized, and let's be honest here and put our cards on the table, is because he was an African-American teenager. This is predominantly happening in our communities, which are predominantly African-American. I have white friends. I have Chinese friends. I have Mexican friends. I have white fans. I have Chinese fans. I have Mexican fans. I speak with a different variety of people on a daily basis, from your neighborhood gang leaders to your local elected officials, to clergy, to media, to people that are involved in the music industry. I speak to people on all types of levels, and I've been in each different type of community, and predominantly the harassment, the assault, and the shoot first, ask questions later mentality from the police force, it normally happens in predominantly black neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, Ms. Rondon?
I would say that the issue has been humanized, in fact, in that nature, because there have been a number of organizations, including the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, the Hispanic League, the Asian Defense League, who have come out in support and demanded the DOJ investigate, demand the FBI investigate, and that's the reason why they're there. And according to like our other guests stated, this action is pervasive. In New York alone, there have been over 50 murders of unarmed African Americans. Let's not forget about Amadou Diallo and Sean Bell. The list can go on and on and on. So this is not only a pervasive problem in Ferguson, but in the police departments and predominantly African American communities.
I need to take a break, but stay with us. If you are on the phone, please hang on. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. In just a few seconds, we will be back with a special edition of The Daily Drum, waiting on the grand jury decision in the Michael Brown case. Stay with us. More on Sirius XM Channel 141.
The Howard University Radio.